Well, you ready for the word? Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for everything you've already done. And thank you for a proper fear of the Lord. We ask by the Holy Spirit that you'd teach us and continue to grow us in it. Balancing, Lord, our love that we know that you have for us and our love for you with a reverent and profound respect for you as well. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. All right, well, let's take our Bibles this morning and hold them up and say this together. These are our Bibles. We are who God says we are. The truest thing about us is what God says about us. And He says we are personal witnesses of His love. We are personal ambassadors of His kingdom. And we are His very children, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and filled with His nature. Amen. Can you feel it? I'll tell you, there's a corporate anointing in this room. The things that God can accomplish through us, through a unified body. I'm telling you, put the devil on the run. Thank you, Father. Well, we're going to continue our series this morning on wisdom. We've been digging out, starting last week, the fear of the Lord. And the reason is because of Job 28. And I'll show it to you here in just a second. But this is Job 28, verse 12 and 13, New Living Translation. But do people know where to find wisdom? Where can they find understanding? No one knows where to find it, for it's not found among the living. And then here's verse 27 and 28. Then God saw wisdom and evaluated it. He set it in place and examined it thoroughly. And this is what God says to all humanity. The fear of the Lord is true wisdom. To forsake evil is real understanding. Boy, we need some wisdom in the United States of America, don't we? We need some understanding. The Holy Spirit here has shifted in this series, teaching us in regard to the fear, a healthy reverence for God, the fear of the Lord, to balance with our, you know, obsession with how much He loves us. How many of you know we talk about God's love a lot? He loves us because of who He is, not because of what we do. He set us free with the truth. But the Holy Spirit is teaching us to balance that revelation. In 1 John 4:16, it says, we've known and believed the love that God has for us. But now after last week, we've also known and believed that this God who loves us and gave Himself for us holds 332 quintillion gallons of water in the shallow of His hand. So He's pretty big. He stretched out the heavens like a curtain. The heavens are a curtain to Him. He flung every star into its place. I mean, it's incredible. We talked last week about even if you showed me where the end of the universe is, guess what? There's something else on the other side. There's a beginning on the other side. It's infinite. We can't comprehend it. Look at Psalm 34, verse 8 through 11. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. There's no want to those who fear Him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Now look at this. Come, children, listen to me, and I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. And God is teaching us to fear Him. And yet it's the same God we know gave Himself for us in His Son. It's the same God that John 3:16 says that He so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believes on Him wouldn't perish but would have everlasting life. John 3:17 says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. It's that same God. It's the same God in Luke 9:56 where Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives, I came to save them. Because the disciples were, you know, trying to call down fire and kill some people. Don't act like you've never thought about it. Maybe not this week. Yeah, Luke 9:56, Jesus, who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, said, I didn't come here to destroy men's lives, I came to save them. That same God is trying to teach us the fear of the Lord is wisdom. So we know He's not saying, let me teach you to be scared of me. We know He's not saying that. It's the same God, right, who's trying to draw us to Himself. It can't be the same thing. He's not saying, let me teach you to be afraid of me and run away. No, he's saying, let me teach you wisdom. Let me teach you what it is to have a healthy reverence and respect for who I am. And oh, by the way, to depart from evil. We left off last week detailing what is the fear of the Lord. And we'll recap that a little bit because I think it's important. Number one, the fear of the Lord involves how we view God. And here's Isaiah 40, verse 10 through 12, New Living Translation. Yes, the sovereign Lord is coming in power. He'll rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. But look at verse 11. He'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. God is God. He could be anything. He could be any nature he wanted to be, but this is him. Loves you like a shepherd. Carries you as a lamb in his arms and keeps you close to his heart. It's incredible. Verse 12, he'll gently lead the mother sheep with their young. For who else has held the oceans in his hand? Who else has measured off the heavens with his fingers? Wow. Number two, what else on the fear of the Lord? It involves how we position ourselves in relationship to God. Remember we talked last week, he's our loving father. We know he loves us so much. I'm sure Peter had an understanding, a little bit, of how much Jesus loved him. But at the same time, remember the day on the boat with all the fish when Jesus' miracle about sank the boat? And Peter said, Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve you. I see who you are, and I'm not you. And every one of those boys who witnessed that miracle, the Bible says, they forsook all and followed him. Why? Because a healthy fear of the Lord releases you from a fear of anything else. When you see him as he is, you're not scared anymore. Come on, amen? This is the balance we're talking about here. That's why perfect love can cast out all fear. But don't doubt for a minute he doesn't have incredible power and strength. A healthy fear of the Lord delivers us from the fear of anyone or anything else. There's a fear of the Lord that produces faith and obedience, not fear and doubt. Number three, it means to be in awe of God. When we see him as he is, we quit going to our problems and tell him how small God is. We go to our problems and tell him how big God is. Amen. And then number four, it's profound respect for his presence and person that lives in us. Never lose sight of that. If you just never lose sight of the fact that God, in his incredible vastness, is living by measure within you, that'll help you depart from evil. It'll help you choose wisely because you understand you're God's temple. So what relationship does light now have with darkness, right? We're not trying to be holy, but all of a sudden we're departing from evil. Why? Because we have a healthy respect for God. We not only love him, we respect him. And we understand he lives within us. We're not under shame. We're not under religious condemnation. But all of a sudden, out of reverence and respect for his presence and his person that's with us and in us, we're departing from evil. And the Bible calls it wisdom. How about profound respect for God's word and God's opinion? Remember, young people, I gave you this one last week. All you got to say to all the politically correct people at school is, please don't let my respect for God be taken as disrespect for you or your opinion. I do respect you and your opinion. I get it. I understand. But when it comes down to man's opinion and God's opinion, please forgive me. I'm going with God's opinion. It's not that I don't value you. I just value God's opinion more. That's all I'm saying. Don't hate. Use that. Yeah. Don't hate. You always preach against don't hate. Well, don't hate. Right? Isn't that what they preach tolerance and then they're intolerant. So just say, don't hate. Don't be intolerant. I'm just saying I value God's word more than yours. That's it. You know, there's certain people in our culture that if they walked in here, they'd get a standing ovation out of respect. Yet this God of the universe shows up every time we gather. Every time we gather. We should applaud him. We should cheer him. We should worship him. We should sing to him. We should bow before him. We could lay on the floor before him. I wouldn't have a problem with a one of you doing that as we get a revelation of who he is. I saw a whole bunch of people on TV yesterday yelling and cheering at a football game. Ain't one of those players gave their life for me. We would stand in respect for certain people in the culture that would come here, and we'd honor them. And I'm telling you, this God of the universe, who holds it in the expanse of his hand, from his pinky to his thumb, he comes every single time we gather. Amen. Amen. Every single time. We should worship him, honor him, clap our hands, shout. And then guess what? Let's go really radical here. Do you know we can do all that and keep worshiping him while the word is taught? We have such respect for his word. We clap our hands. We shout. We do all those things. Now's not the time to sleep, right? Well, the worship part is over. Now we're going to... No, we keep on worshiping. He's still here. He's the one teaching you. Amen. Now's not the time to be on your phone. Well, come on. I tell my boys that this is not the time to be on your phone. Have some reverence for God and his word. Amen. I'll just let that set right there. But hey, that's part of what the Holy Spirit's saying in this series. Let's marry how much God loves us. We love to revel in it with some profound respect for who he is. And certainly his opinion, his word, all those things. All right, let's pick it up here. Number six, what else is the fear of the Lord? Well, it leads to obedience. The fear of the Lord leads to obedience. Can I get a witness that Jesus Christ is perfect theology? You ever confused about God and all that? Just look at Christ and listen to him. He's perfect theology. Did he walk around afraid of God? No, he called him Dad. He called him Abba. But don't think for a second he didn't respect him and revere him. Look at Isaiah 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod, capital R, from the stem of Jesse, and a branch, capital B, shall grow out of his roots. Who's he talking about? Jesus. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Look at this. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord will be on him. Verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he'll judge the poor. He'll decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He'll strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he'll slay the wicked. Boy, we saw that a bunch. How many times they try to trick him? Yeah. Jesus delighted in revering and honoring his father, walking around in awe of his father. I think the plan itself, I'm sure, captivated him. And can I get a witness in this house that Jesus Christ was obedient? Even to the point of his own death, he was obedient. So a proper fear of the Lord produces obedience. That's why America is struggling. America does not fear God. America just winks at him. Keeps them around for, you know, blessings or emergencies. Yeah, there you go. Look at this. Genesis 22, 12. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad. So this is Abraham and Isaac. Abraham's offering Isaac as a sacrifice. Look what it says. Don't lay your hand on the boy. Don't do anything to him. Look, for now I know that you fear God. Why? Because he was obedient. Since you've not withheld your son, your only son from me. I know you fear God because you are obedient to the point of your own son's death. Out of profound respect for God and his word, Abraham offered his own son to God. He was willing to kill his own son as a sacrifice to God. How about that? Thank God he kept listening. Man, how many people get a word from God and they run off and do it, and God's trying to tell them, listen, hey, no, we're going to do this. Course correction. We're going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thank God Abraham kept listening. Not enough to just listen one time. We're going to keep walking with him. So godly fear and wisdom will produce in us a true desire to obey God and to do his will. A healthy fear of the Lord, like I said, releases you from fear of anything else. You know, I believe Abraham just absolutely was convinced God would raise his son from the dead. And we've spent so many years helping you know how to get up again after a big piece of stupid. Can I get a witness on that? We talk about it all the time. We're going to have to get up again. Though a righteous man falls seven times, that's a righteous man, seven times he rises again. We've taught you your true identity, that your behavior doesn't even determine the truth about you. Your behavior simply revealed whether you danced with the truth about you. That's all it did. It actually revealed you believed a lie about yourself. Your behavior doesn't tell you the truth about you. Amen. Amen. Your feelings don't. Your thoughts don't. Even what you believe about yourself. If it's not lined up with truth, it's not truth. So we've taught you all those things. But what would happen if we got a revelation of how much reverence and respect we ought to be walking in towards the Lord, and then we just quit sinning? We quit doing big pieces of stupid. Listen, out of a healthy reverence for God. We obey him. We obey his word. I mean, it sounds like a good idea to me. Talk about forsaking sin in church. And I know, listen, the only way you're going to manifest righteousness is you allowing Christ to live in and through you. I get that. But it is your choice. It is your choice. We can forsake our lying. Forsake pride. That's a good one. Can I get a witness there? Well, what's pride, Pastor? Anything that causes you strife and contention. Only by pride comes contention. So if you're fussing and fighting with somebody, don't blame it on the devil. That was good. That was good. Straight from the Holy Ghost. How about we flee our self-centeredness? How about we flee lust? What if we start applying wisdom and understanding? Departing from evil. Why? Because we love and respect the God of the universe and, listen, the God of our heart so much. I think it's a worthwhile thing. All right. Fear of the Lord. What else is it? Number seven, it leads to worship. Psalm 25:14, Amplified Bible. One of my favorite passages. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord belongs to those who fear him. Now look what the word fear means. Revere and worship him. The secret, how many of you want God to give secrets to you? All right, well here you go. The secrets of the Lord belong to those who fear him. Revere him, worship him. And he'll show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner insight right there. Inner meaning. The new covenant is an inward covenant. It's an inward change. Amen, somebody. All right, how about Matthew 4, verse 8 through 10, Jesus being tempted by the devil. We'll pick it up here, verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory, the splendor, magnificence, excellence of them. And he said to him, these things all taken together, I'll give you if you'll prostrate yourself before me and do homage and worship me. Look at verse 10. Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it's been written. Everybody say it's written. He said to him, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him alone shall you serve. Now I challenge every one of you to go find that quote in the Bible because you won't find it. And can I get a witness? Jesus didn't misspeak. I thought it was funny. I mean, he's not making a mistake here. He's not saying something's written in the Bible that's not there. It is there, just not verbatim that way. Here's what he quoted. Deuteronomy 6:13 for your notes. You shall fear the Lord. And him alone shall you serve. So Jesus Christ uses fearing God and worshiping God as the same. A proper fear of the Lord in this house is going to produce radical worship. Higher levels of praise than we've ever seen in this house. Who's with me, man? I want that. I want it. God grant us the highest level. I want the high praise of God in our mouths and a two-edged sword in our hand. I don't want to play church. I want to come here and be the church. And part of that is enthroning the God of the universe to his rightful place in the heavens, in the atmosphere, and in our hearts. A healthy fear of the Lord it produces worship. Rich worship. Deep worship. Heartfelt worship. Fear of the Lord and worship are used interchangeably by Jesus Christ, and he's perfect theology. How many times in Scripture after an outstanding miracle does the Bible say that people fell at his feet? Maybe someone he healed or whoever. They fell at his feet. They worshiped him. In Mark chapter 5, before Legion was cast out, remember the man with 2,000 demons? The Gadarene demoniac in Mark 5, listen, saw Jesus. He's possessed. Ran to him, worshiped him. And God forbid demons have more respect for Jesus Christ and the God of this universe than we do. May it never be. All they did was see him and they ran to him. They do. That was before he drove the demons out. They ran and worshiped him. Amen, amen, amen. I don't want anybody else having more profound, healthy respect for the Lord than we do. All right, I want to talk about, there's your seven things as far as the fear of the Lord and what it is. Let's talk now, today, the rest of today, we'll talk next week and finish it up on the fear of the Lord, what it's not. The fear of the Lord, what it isn't. Well, it's not a tormenting fear. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears with tormenting fear has not been made perfect in love. Wow. This proves now that God wants you free from any kind of tormenting, enslaving fear. God wants you free from that. This is not the fear that we're talking about. Remember, it's profound respect. It's healthy reverence for God. He wants you free from any wrong kind of fear that would lead you away from him. He wants a reverence and respect that leads you to him, to trust in him and his power. Look at Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Let's say that together, okay? Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. One more time. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. It does not say tormented. It does not say paralyzed with fear is everyone who fears the Lord. Clearly, that can't be what he's talking about, because the fear of the Lord we're talking about blesses human beings. It blesses us. Look what he says. Blessed are those who walk in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you'll be happy. It'll be well with you. Look at this. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. I mean, even if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy in a house. Is the truth? Your children will be like olive plants all around your table. Not with their head buried in their phone at dinner time. They'll be olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. How about that? Not afraid, not tormented, not paralyzed. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. Why are we blessed in it? Because it produces love, worship, obedience, faith. It produces holiness. You know, the children of Israel, one of the saddest things in all the Bible, the children of Israel, God speaks audibly. Think about this. This huge God who, you know, sees the heavens as a curtain. He speaks audibly to over 2 million people. I don't think it ever happened before. I don't think it ever happened since. He spoke audibly and they heard him to 2 million people at the same time. It's one of the saddest things in all of Scripture, because what happened is they got into the wrong kind of fear. when it happened, they got in the wrong kind of fear, a tormenting fear, and they told Moses, you go have relationship with him. We're scared of him. You go have relationship. Wrong kind of fear. Scared them so bad, they wanted a mediator between them and God. Get ready. You think that happens today? You got any people in this country going to church who serve God through a mediator? Absolutely. So many people today want a mediator rather than to know and hear God personally. You need to hear God for yourself. That's what Grace Church is all about. The priesthood of the believer. You're a priest. You're not following a priest. Unless you're talking about capital P, priest Jesus Christ, you're following him. I'm here serving you. I'm here as a special place in your heart through your voluntary yielding to it to allow me to share truths from God's word and his spirit with you, to exhort you, encourage you, teach you. But the Holy Spirit's the teacher. Everybody in this room needs to know God personally and be hearing him personally. Remember, we started this year where the Lord said, Sundays aren't enough. You got to hear, yes, on Sunday, but you need to keep hearing. And you do feed on Sunday, but you need to keep feeding. Amen. We're going to continue that as we go into 2018. Discipleship is on his heart. You may as well get used to it. Sundays aren't enough. We need to eat and keep eating. The world, I'm telling you, well, the church even, we fed so long on the world. We fed so long on things we shouldn't be feeding on. And there's a shift now for those who have ears to hear. Lord's like, I'm cutting off what you've been feeding on. You're going to feed on me. Amen. And how many of you know we'll be blessed in it? Yes. Absolutely blessed in it. People want mediators because it's harder to say no to what God tells them to do when they hear it directly than when they hear it from somebody else. Think about that. If you're hearing it through a mediator, you can discard it and say, well, that's just Steve. He had too much, you know, hot sauce on his eggs for breakfast. He was just... But if you hear something personally from God, it's going to be hard for you to discredit that. People want mediators because they can discredit the messenger. And the messengers are fallible. So there's truth in that. I get it. But you hear a word from Almighty God, right, who holds the universe in the expanse of his hands, you got a choice. You can either repent or disobey him. And it's a lot harder to disobey him when you're hearing it personally. When God says, hey, you're being selfish. Versus Pastor Steve just teaching you about what selfishness looks like. People who know God personally and hear him speak to them, much more prone to obey his instruction. Because there's nobody else to blame. There's nobody to discredit. It's you and God. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to repent and obey. That's what I'm going to do. Everybody in this room needs a personal relationship with God. Everybody. Don't serve God through a mediator. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody in this room needs to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord on a regular basis. You know, I can tell you about the Lord, I can tell you about the fear of the Lord, but until you really experience him and know him personally, it's just different. Like me trying to tell you about hunger pains. How many of you know hunger pains? You've ever heard the term starving to death? You don't really know that unless you've experienced it. So that's what I'm talking about. Until you really experience a true fear of the Lord personally, that's when it revolutionizes you and changes things. So we've got to take heed to 2 Timothy chapter 3, that in the last days, right, men will be lovers of themselves and all these things, boastful, arrogant, revilers, all that. One of the things he said, forever learning, they got a lot of knowledge, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Can I get a witness? Truth is a person. Yes. Okay, so mediators feed us knowledge and information. What we need is a personal relationship with the truth, Jesus Christ. And what I like about this house is, I think the vast majority do, and so when his truth manifests in me, and it manifests in your hearing and in your understanding, then we have joy, right? We have peace. We have love in this house. That's the way it should work. You need to run away from any church or any pastor or leader who's telling you you're dependent on them. Amen. Run as fast as you can. Their role is to get you into personal relationship with the Lord. Amen. Now, can the Lord use pastors? Absolutely, He does. Thank God for them. Amen. Just checking. Just checking. Oh, Lord, you're funny. All right. Let me show you. This is Exodus 20. Here's where it happened. Here's where it all went south, guys. God speaks audibly to 2 million people. Here's what happened. Verse 19. They said to Moses, hey, you speak to us and we'll listen to you. How many of you know that was funny? But don't have God speak to us or we'll die. Wrong kind of fear. Moses spoke to him. Verse 20. Don't be afraid like that. God has come to test you and simply instill a deep reverent awe within you so you won't sin. In other words, for your good. He's trying to show you His power. As New Covenant believers, we recognize, yeah, power to overcome sin. Amen. Wow. So Moses is trying to talk to them. Of course, they don't listen. They don't listen. Yeah, even though they just said they would, they didn't listen to him. Tormenting fear. If you have this kind of fear, dread that moves you away from personal relationship with God, wrong kind of fear. That's not the fear of the Lord, that's wisdom. It's not it. He wants us being intimate with Him, never running away from Him. If you have dread or torment, you're not perfected in the love of God that casts out that fear. Amen? That's so good. The Lord is saying here, listen, you're not going to be able to flee sin on your own. It's killing you. You can't defeat sin in your own human power. Let me show you a little bit of who I am. I have power. We can do this thing together. How many of you know sin is a power? So if you're going to defeat it, it takes a greater power to overcome it. I don't know about you, but I can't quit sinning on my own and in my own strength. I really can't. I've been in situations where I didn't want to do something, and I did. Anybody ever been there? Three of you? Amen. Try this one on for size. I didn't want to say something, and I said it. Well, revival broke out. Wow. How about that? We need to do a series on the power of the tongue. In the early years of marriage, you know, Stacy, she couldn't understand why I wasn't perfect. And then when I got into ministry in 1998, she really thought I'd be perfect then. She couldn't understand why I wasn't perfect. Why I had flesh patterns. Why does Steve have problems? Why is Steve not perfect? Oh, here's what she'd tell me. Well, I don't understand. Just don't do it. Just don't do it. And I'm like, well, I can't in and of myself. It's not as easy as you're making it out to be. I've got generational sins passed down to me from my dad, my grandfather. I mean, it's not as easy as you think it is. Sin is a power at work in our members. Okay, we're born again, but I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul in Romans 7 said when he sinned, it wasn't him, it was sin that indwelled him. Sin indwells somewhere probably between the flesh, the body, and the soul somewhere. I have to do a study on that. But it's in there. And it's a power at work in our members. If we're going to overcome sin, then we need a greater power. Did you know I counsel marriages all the time, and they can't figure out or understand why one of them won't quit doing something wrong? Right? The husband, well, he won't quit doing stuff he shouldn't. Well, he needs a greater power. He needs a greater power. And listen, honey, your guilt and shame ain't the power. All that condemnation and guilt you keep putting on him, tell him he's a pervert or he's bad or he's this, that is not empowering him. There ain't no power in that. Pastor, how do you know that? Read John chapter 8. Woman caught in adultery. The power to go and sin no more comes from knowing you have no accusers and no condemnation. Woo! Come on. You want power, you're going to have to get them to Christ. And they have to begin to recognize how holy and how righteous they are. That there's no one accusing them in heaven. Woo, amen. And that Jesus says, neither do I condemn you. There is the empowerment to go and sin no more. All your criticism, all your shame, all your guilt, that ain't going to do it. You know, in marriage, you got to just be nice to each other. Be nice to each other. Stop shaming each other. Start helping each other. Amen. Revival over here on row two. See, the flesh is natural man's power. Can I get a witness? Religion ain't going to help anybody. Religion not going to save anybody, not going to help anybody. And Paul said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? That's what he said. And then what did he say? Thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we start seeing and knowing him. We start seeing, get a revelation of the power and his glory. And all of a sudden, we're departing from evil. It's a byproduct of wisdom. It's a byproduct of wisdom and the empowerment that comes from a healthy respect for God. Gavin, you guys can come. Look at this last one. Romans 8, 14 and 15, good news translation. Those who are led by God's Spirit, those are God's children. Verse 15, for the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves, doesn't cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children. And look at this, by the Spirit's power. Everybody say power. By the Spirit's power, we cry out, Abba, my Father. Guess who else said that very phrase? Jesus Christ. And now he's saying it through you. A healthy fear of the Lord is not tormenting. It doesn't separate us. It draws us to him. Next week, we'll look at religious fear. You know, all that stuff. You may remember it. If you don't serve God, he'll knock you flat on your back so that the only way you can look is up. He'll get your attention. You don't pay your tithe, God will take it out of your hide. That's religious fear.
Amen.
Come on. Anybody ever heard that one? If you don't pay your tithe, God will take it out of your hide. We don't give out of that kind of demonic fear.
Amen.
That's demonic. Why do we give cheerful? We give because everything we have, listen to me, is his. I'm just a steward. I'm a steward. Lord, it's your money. What would you have me to sow? Man, and just even losing yourself in the cause of the kingdom. I want to give so I can help. I want to help. And Lord, it's your money. I belong to you. You saved me. You chose me. And then, Lord, all that I have is really yours. It's your money. It's your money. And with a healthy fear of him, a reverence from him, of him, you'll never have fear of the bills and all that ever again. Because you'll see him as he is, his power, his provision. Does that make sense to you? We don't. If you think you own 90% and God's own 10, God owns 10, you're in the wrong covenant. He owns you. Everything you have came from him. Amen. So we'll get into that next week. Go ahead and stand with me. Boy, hallelujah. What a great church. What a great group of people. You know what I appreciate about you is when we do share, and sometimes it's challenging. I get that. But your hearts, I never sense brick walls here. I never sense that people don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know the Lord. And I appreciate that about you. So every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to know him. You want to receive him.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.